up on episode 127 of TritonCast, we'll chat with Big West Freshman of the Year Olivia Alegre from Triton Tennis. What was it like playing number one singles right out of the gate as a freshman? And how did she earn the role of team captain? You'll learn about her relentless positivity, and she tells us about the differences in the game internationally based on her plethora of experience on the court abroad. Olivia also tells us who she likes facing the least. Plus, we'll put Olivia on the hot seat in our popular quick pick segment. Olivia Alegre from Women's Tennis is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 127 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter whether you found us on ucsdtritons.com or on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for joining us this week and for making us a part of your day. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Congrats to 9 from UC San Diego baseball named All Big West. You can read about that group on ucsdtritons.com. The Tritons baseball squad will get underway in the Big West Championship on Thursday at 6 p.m. Women's water polo's Emily Clougherty was named Honorable Mention All-American. And season tickets for Triton soccer will go on sale next month. The Triton women will play in the Big West for the final time in 2026, while the UC San Diego men will compete in the Pac-12 this fall. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are Silvana Northrup from track and field and Anthony Potestio from baseball. Congrats to those two. Well, now it's on to our Triton Spotlight. Olivia Alegre burst on the scene for UC San Diego tennis in the fall. The first-year student was team captain, played at first singles, and earned conference Freshman of the Year honors. We'll get into all that and so much more in this week's Triton Spotlight with Olivia Alegre. Enjoy. Olivia, how old were you when you started playing tennis?
I started when I was about 4 years old. My dad has been my coach the whole way, so it was like really cool to come to college and I guess like new experience having a new coach, but I found like Seb and my dad to be pretty similar, which is part of the reason I decided to come here.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that recruiting process a little bit, but I guess if that's all you knew was being coached by dad, but kind of what was that like?
I loved it because I'd get to learn so much, like not only on the court, but like we'd watch tennis together and all that. And then I also have a younger sister, so she also plays tennis. So it's just always been like a whole family unit from like day one, which has been like a really cool experience for me. And yeah, we got to travel the world playing tennis together. So it was really awesome.
Were you out there bossing your sister around a little bit on the court?
Yeah, I feel like I've always been a little bossy around her. And she's a little bit of a stubborn younger sister too. So it's been kind of funny, but yeah, it's always fun though.
Were you playing other sports when you were younger?
I played soccer until about COVID, but like I knew I was always going to stick with tennis, but soccer definitely like helped my tennis and like athleticism and like speed and all that. So it was definitely good to like play two sports growing up.
Yeah, that's interesting. So dig into that a little bit more. How did soccer help you on the tennis court?
I mean, just like speed wise. And then like, it was also kind of cool to be like in a team environment. And I think now that I'm on a college team and it's no longer only individual, that kind of helped me a lot to be able to like get along with teammates. And then also having like a different coach that wasn't my dad, like that was also probably helpful.
So he wasn't coaching soccer.
No. My dad's not a soccer guy.
What position did you play in soccer?
I was like midfield forward, so yeah, more running.
Yeah, I guess that endurance and stamina is a part of that as well, right?
Yeah, I think that definitely helped me a lot because I feel like my tennis game is pretty physical and like I'm like willing to be out there for as long as I need to. And like, I know I can outlast my opponents in that way. So I think soccer definitely helped me in that sense as well.
When you were playing tennis as a youngster for dad, was there a time where you got serious about it or maybe realized that you were pretty good?
I started playing tournaments when I was 7, which I mean, I feel like that's pretty young. Like some of my teammates started later than that. So I feel like I always knew I wanted to do tennis. My dad, like, he's from France and he came to the States because of tennis. He played at UCLA. So, like, tennis has always been a big part of my family. So, like, when I was younger, I was like, I'm gonna be a professional tennis player. So, like, tennis has always, like, been in my mind from a young age. So, yeah, like, I feel like I got more serious about tennis probably around COVID because that was kind of more like the age to, like, compete a little harder and all that. But I started like really competing a lot like in high school, and that's also like when I started traveling internationally for tournaments with my sister, which was a really great experience.
What's the age difference between you two?
She's 2 years younger, so right now she's a sophomore in high school.
Got it. And so what kinds of places did you go? Where did you play internationally?
I played in France, Belgium, Mexico, Guatemala, St. Lucia, St. Vincent. So I've been a lot of places, and I'm like really grateful to have had that experience because I feel like I got to meet a lot of new people, and like it's just nice to experience like new cultures. It also helped me grow as like a person. So that was very fortunate to have been able to travel so much.
Did you find the actual tennis to be different in different places, like in terms of the style or the approach?
Yeah, I feel like in Mexico, I know it's like the girls are like very gritty. Like maybe some of them weren't like as competitive as in different countries, but like no matter their level, like they like wanted it. And like that was kind of like, it's kind of tricky because like maybe they're not as good, some of them, but like they were like, it was just really difficult to play them sometimes because they were so like in your face. And like that's something that helped me, I feel like, because in college, like it's a different environment than in juniors because it's just like louder. So I feel like that was like a good experience because also playing at all the Mexican clubs with like all of like they have their own little mini crowds. So like getting used to playing in an environment like that was like really cool. Like it was definitely helpful now that I'm in college.
How did you make that adjustment when you're playing in a challenging environment like that with fans supporting your opponent, and maybe that's not something that you'd been used to and had in the past? So how did you block that out and focus on the tennis, or were you able to?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, there's always like, it can always get to you a little bit, but it's just like focusing like on the actual tennis, like trying to like form your own like mental bubble that is like helpful. And it's like really just like experience of playing in enough matches in that kind of environment that helps you get through it, I feel like. But yeah, it's just experience. And I feel like coming in like as a freshman, I had a lot of match experience, like against a lot of different types of players and a lot of different environments and like conditions. So like that was helpful. And yeah, just my experience helped me a lot this season, I feel like, considering I was a first year. Yeah.
When you were traveling for juniors, what was maybe the coolest place you went, or the most memorable?
I think St. Lucia was very memorable because like it was just so like humid and hot, and like for tennis, like for vacation, it's so nice there, but like for a tennis tournament, it's just like different, you know? And then there's like the random rain delays, so just dealing with all the different conditions was tricky. But that one was very memorable because that was like my first international tournament that I won, and I got to play my sister in the final, so that was like really cool to have an Alegre sister final.
Was there trash talking going on?
Nah. Like we do practice matches a lot against each other. So like we've ended up playing each other in tournaments like 5 times. So like it literally just feels like another match, but we're respectful.
Another match, except that you're somewhere
Except
far,
there's
far away.
actually stuff at stake, but like, you know. Yeah.
Right, that too.
But yeah, I don't love playing my sister. It's like, can we both just win?
So playing so much internationally in these tournaments as you did, how did that help your game improve?
Yeah, I think just being in different environments and adapting to different conditions, I think adaptability has become like a strength of mine because like I had to play in different altitudes, different surfaces like clay or hard court, and then there's also grass, but I never got the chance to play on grass. And just the time change, traveling, getting used to just different places and like all that stuff helped me a lot. So like when we had matches here, and like you get there the day of and then you're playing the match. Like I was able to like adjust quickly. And then like when we played in Arizona, we have altitude change, time change. So like I felt comfortable enough, like, oh, like one practice, I'm going to be ready for my match because like I've done this so many times. So I think, yeah, just becoming a more adaptable person, that was very helpful coming here.
Our guest on TritonCast this week is Olivia Alegre from Women's Tennis. So tell us about your UC San Diego journey. How did you end up a Triton?
So I emailed Coach Seb as a junior in high school. And then from there, we kind of just started emailing, calling, and he watched a lot of my matches in San Diego because there are quite a bit of tournaments in San Diego. And I just really liked him a lot. And at the time, Coach Jake wasn't here yet, but I'm very lucky to have him as a coach. They're both amazing. And I feel like a big part of choosing school for me was like academics and the coaches, the team, and like location. Like I definitely want to stay inside California because I'm from Orange County. So like it doesn't get better than California, I feel like. And now that I'm here, like it's just so nice to have so many things to do around the campus and like outside campus. And then just academics are really great here. And I'm a human bio major, so it's definitely a good school for my major. And picking like the coaching staff was a big part of my decision. Like I find Coach Seb to be similar to like my dad. And since my dad like coached me the whole way, like it was like definitely an easier transition since I feel like they have like similar values and approaches towards coaching and tennis. Like they're very like growth and like improvement focus instead of like results, I feel like, because this season, like we had quite a bit of like a lot of losses, actually, like very close ones, but like they were never like, they were always encouraging us still. And like they had the belief that we can do bigger things than we were doing. And I really appreciated that because for me, I kind of had a slow start in the preseason, but like I knew I was still playing well and I was playing against like a lot of good players. And I think just like their encouragement and like belief of what I could do and not really focusing on the results, just as long as I learned and was like improving, that really helped me going into conference because I started conference like 5-0. So like that was like a great start because like I feel like the coaches still like had a lot of belief in me and no one was like being discouraged. I was just like very into like learning and like the process. And I feel like growing up that way with my dad and then having it here just like helped me a lot, like to have a good season.
So your dad played at UCLA, and you wanted to stay in California. Was there pressure for you to go to a UC or not so much?
Oh no. Like it was just UCSD was a really good option for me, but yeah, any school would have been good. Like my parents didn't really like pressure like where I was going to go or like, oh, I had to go D1 or anything. Like, again, it was just like very like the process and like what's best for me and like my development as like a player, a person, and like all that stuff. So I feel like my recruiting process wasn't as stressful as maybe other people because like maybe since my dad is like a tennis person, like we kind of like knew like what to focus on and like what's important for like my development as an athlete. So I feel like that was definitely helpful, but my recruiting process was definitely different from his since he was like international, but yeah.
So in your case, once you had committed to UC San Diego, what was the rest of your time in high school like, knowing that this is where you were going to end up? Was that like a burden lifted or was there ever a burden to begin with for you?
I feel like there was never really a burden, but it was definitely nice like going into senior year, like knowing where I was going because like all my friends were like stressed with like college applications and all that. And like, I just had to turn mine in and like, I knew I was going to be good, you know, but it was just like nice to know where I was going. I got to like get in touch with like the girls who would be coming in as a freshman with me. And I feel like that was just, it's just like a good peace of mind to like know where you're going, I feel like. And
so when you got here in the fall, what was the biggest adjustment for you to college life, tennis, anything?
So like for me, I wasn't very sure. Like I honestly can't really remember like what I was expecting coming into college. But like I said, like I'm pretty good at adapting to new environments. So it was like pretty smooth for me. And like I'm a pretty extroverted person now. Like in high school, I wasn't so much, but like now I feel like I've kind of grown into that type of a person. So like being more extroverted, like making friends was a little bit easier. And then like I kind of from day one, since I was a little bit chattier on the team, like I kind of like took it, like took the leader role, or like I was just happy to like talk to everyone and like lead things. And like I ended up being chosen as captain. So I feel like just like my energy, my like personality kind of helped me a lot, like adjust to college.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to ask you about that. I mean, a first year being a team captain is not a common thing. Were you surprised by that?
So Seb told us who captain was like near the end of the fall. And like coming in here, I was like not expecting it. But after a couple months of like being with the team, like I felt like I was happy to take on like the responsibility of being a captain, you know? Like I felt like I definitely had it in me to do it. But I wasn't really expecting much, but I'm very glad that I had the opportunity to do so because it was a great experience. I feel like I gained a lot and I grew a lot as a person too. Like just having, and it gave me a lot of opportunities. Like I get to speak on this podcast. I like learned to like communicate with coaches and like higher up people in like the athletics department, you know? And just like I'm someone who pushes myself a lot in the gym and on the court. So like that was another reason why I feel like I was chosen because I was able to push my teammates a lot too and like keep everyone in line. So yeah, I was definitely excited to be captain, but yeah.
And now having gone through it for a year, in that role, how would you define like what a captain should be, right? Like, what did you see your role as besides being maybe the vocal person who spoke on behalf of your teammates to the coaches?
Yeah, I think like the biggest thing was just like keeping the energy and like the values of the team like in line. Like our team is pretty like quiet compared to some of the other teams are competing against. So like just trying to get people's energy up, like their belief up. Like we had some like team talks and kind of just like get people like motivated and excited and like to bring that like good energy to our matches because it just makes match day more fun. It makes everything more competitive. So just like keeping people like excited with good energy was like a big part of my role, I feel like, because if everyone's like excited to be there, then like we're automatically going to push each other more and grow as athletes and people. So I feel like that was a key thing that I had to do as a captain. But then like also like communicating with coaches and making sure like there's like no drama. And luckily we didn't have any or like much at all. So that was great. And then just like any concerns that the girls had, I'd like go to the coaches and we try to like work things out. So, I mean, I feel like I was a high school tennis captain, but like definitely college was like more of like a real role. And I feel like I grew a lot, which I'm very like happy with.
So the other team captain, Hannah, was a grad student, so kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Freshman grad student. What did you learn from her and her leadership?
Yeah, we're joking. They had to like get the two ends to meet in the middle, like for like a normal captain age, I feel like. But yeah, that was kind of cool because she had like the experience of like being on a team already like 3 years. So I feel like with like my positive energy and like her experience, it like made for a pretty good year. And like, yeah.
What was your favorite memory on the court from this past season?
Honestly, like, oh yeah, my match against Santa Barbara, that was a big match for me. I ended up beating the player of the year, so that was crazy. But I was playing really well, and like that match, like I really like learned, or I proved to myself like how strong I am physically and mentally because a lot of my matches went three sets in conference, and like I knew physically that I can like outlast people and like be there right with them and, like, I don't know, just grind it out on the court for as long as I had to. And, but then in this match, I was down like 3-5 in the third set. And like from there, like I just dug so deep and I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I know I can do this. My teammates are like right next to me cheering me on. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I ended up winning 4 games in a row to win 7-5. So that was like a huge win for me. And yeah, I feel like knowing that I can push myself so much physically and mentally, like that's like a really good confidence booster going into like my like summer tournaments. So then I can come back and keep doing that next season.
Where do you think your game improved over the course of the year?
I feel like, well, physically, I feel like I improved a lot. I was already pretty physical coming in, but like, I feel like even stronger there now. But I feel like my decisions on the court, like tennis is very mental. And like, you have like less than a second to decide like where you want to hit your shot and like what's the best shot for you and like going to make it the hardest for your opponent to return. And I feel like that's where the coaches helped me a lot since we're allowed to get coaching in between points. Like Jake and Seb have like told me patterns or like noticed things that like I feel like I never would have seen before. And just like hearing them like coach all these little things that I wouldn't have noticed before has helped me. Like it's become like it's just come to me more easily now and I'm able to notice it. So I feel like my decision making on court has improved a lot. And I think that's going to help me a lot in the future.
We're chatting with Olivia Allegri from Triton Tennis on Triton Cast this week. So looking back at the past season, your first in college, of course, how much for a given match are you preparing for a specific opponent? So you played number one singles, so you're going to face the number one on your opposing team, but how much are you scouting them and learning about what they do before the match? Or is that something that's even done?
Like for some of them, like I wouldn't even like check anything. I'm just like, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do my best and try to give her like a really difficult match. But then some, like if I kind of knew her or like someone on my team knew the girl, like I just ask just for like little anything that they could remember if they'd played her, if they'd play her before. And I never like overly like stalked them or anything to try to figure them out because every day is different in tennis. Like you can have like a really good day, a really bad day, but like if anyone knew like which side her forehand or backhand was weaker or stronger, like I'd kind of just take that. And yeah, it's mostly I just try to focus on myself and what I was going to do that day because that's the only thing in my control, you know? So like just try to use my game to affect them as much as possible. But after matches, the coaches had us write like a match report of like the opponent's weaknesses or like what they did well, their patterns, and like what we did to like disrupt them and like win or like what we could have done better to improve. And I really liked that because it helped me like reflect and like learn on my mat, learn from my match. And we were going to use those match reports going into like the Big West tournament because I mean, usually lineups stay the same. So like you could be playing the same person that you already played. And so it's just kind of like nice to already like have a pattern. But like a lot of the girls that I played, like I didn't know them. So it was just figuring it out. But like going into the next seasons, like I'll kind of remember, like know how to play them better. So that's good.
Yeah, definitely. And every time I think I've ever seen you on campus on the court of practice, you're always smiling. And you mentioned the challenges the team had at times this year. So how did how did you remain so positive and always bring that kind of relentless positivity as I've heard it characterized by others?
Yeah, thank you. I get that a lot, but thank you for noticing. I feel like I'm just a very optimistic person. I've always been optimistic and I feel like I don't know, like your outlook on life or something that kind of like influences how you are. And like, so I just try to be very happy and like smile a lot. And like, I hope that it rubs off on my teammates as much as possible. But after the losses, it's like, it's tough. Like we lost, but if we keep dwelling on it, it's just like, nothing's going to happen. Like we kind of just have to learn from it, move on and then like work harder, you know? So like, I feel like it's just better to like accept what it is, accept the outcome and try to improve instead of just like whine and complain. So like, I just try to keep a very optimistic and happy outlook on life. So yeah.
Is that something that comes naturally for you, or are you consciously aware of that and then bringing the smile to your face?
It's pretty natural. I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's another thing that as captain, I was like, hopefully able to like keep people, like keep them positive. And like, if someone was stressed, I tried to talk to them and like, I don't know, I can like joke around too, like try to keep everything like lighter, you know?
So after the season ended, you were named Big West Freshman of the Year. What did that honor mean to you, and how surprised were you?
That was definitely a goal of mine coming in, because I mean, there are goals for the team, but then like, this was like an individual goal for myself. And I felt like at the beginning of conference, I was feeling pretty good with like my five-oh record. Right. But then I ended up having like three close losses. And after that, I was like, okay, I'm just going to like lower the expectation, because like, I don't want to be overly bummed. Like, you know, it is what it is. It'd be great if I got it. And if I didn't, it's okay. I still had a great season, and I know that for myself. But I was literally on a hike with two of my teammates, and then I get some like text messages from like our team group chat and my grandpa, because my grandpa comes to all of our matches. And then I was like, wait, what is this? And then I saw it was Big West, and then I saw that I got the award, and I was like, oh my God, there's no way. I was so excited. Like, yeah, like I feel like I lowered the expectation a little bit, like just so I wasn't going to be too sad if I didn't get it. But yeah, I was so excited that day. Like, yeah, I was very happy.
And how validating is that for all the hard work you've put in, you know, not just this year, but leading up to prior to college as well, to kind of get to that point, and then knowing that, of course, there's still room to improve even more.
No, yeah, that was very nice to get, especially considering like I had a pretty like rough start to the season with the preseason. Like I mentioned earlier, I had a lot of losses in the beginning, but like I still stayed like positive and like knew that I wasn't getting worse. I was like, I still felt like I was improving in these matches that I was losing. And I feel like just having that positive mindset really helped me. And like, I was still confident going into conference, and I told myself that like, I can be undefeated in conference still. Like, my record might not be the best right now, but I know I can do really well. And I think just the positive outlook helped me, and like that just helped me get the award overall.
So now that the season is over, what are you doing or not doing tennis wise, and kind of what's the summer plan?
So we had like 10 days off, which was pretty nice because our bodies were feeling it near the end. But now we're back into like off-season training. So we still have like two practices with coaches, and then three captains practices. So we're still practicing like at least 5 days a week. And then we still have our lifts and conditioning. I have a mixed doubles exhibition with one of the guys on the men's team. That's this Friday. And then I also have a tournament with that guy this weekend. So I'm excited to like get some mixed doubles in, because I've only played mixed doubles like twice, and like one time was like in 10 and under. So I'm excited to get some matches in that way. But this summer, I'm probably going to be playing like the pro series. So they're like mini pro tournaments like in SoCal. And then just, I might go to France for some tournaments to visit family too. So like, I'm excited for that. And I get to play on clay. So yeah, summer plans aren't 100% certain yet, but I know I'll definitely be competing a lot, which I'm excited for.
That sounds amazing. And I know I won't ask you what you're going to do in life, because you're only a first year student. That's not fair. But as a human bio major, why did you pick that major, and why is that of interest to you?
In high school, I just enjoyed like biology and chem more, and like psychology also interests me. Like, I enjoy learning about the brain. So I feel like biology, like I kind of have a lot of options to like in the medical field and stuff. So, but I'm not like 100% certain what I want to do. Like definitely something medical would be cool.
Do you envision like playing tennis as a real adult recreationally after college is over?
I don't know. Like, I feel like in my 20s, I can definitely still play tournaments, but like, after that, I don't know. It's too far away to tell. I'm only 18 still. So, yeah.
Yeah, we won't hold you to it. It's more just curious.
Yeah. I haven't thought that far ahead, so I'm not very sure. But yeah, I mean, I definitely keep playing tennis, but I don't know if I'd still compete after like a certain age.
I do want to ask you one more thing before we get to quick picks about, you just mm-hmm. mentioned if you go to France, you'd have the opportunity or hopefully have the opportunity to play on clay. Mm-hmm. That's not something that's obviously common here. So when was the last time you played on it and how is the game different?
So I believe the last, well, since I've been in college, last time was last summer in France, I played on clay, and clay is just different because it can be much more physical because clay is like dirt. So like you can slide and it's like really fun. And like the bounce is a little bit different. So like if you drop shot, it's like kind of hard to get because it kind of just like sinks into the clay. And then also like points can just be like way longer because it's slightly slower than hard court here. Like it's like easier to hit a winner because it's like maybe a little bit more difficult to move. But since like you can slide around on clay, it just makes it like way more physical. Like you can have like 4-hour matches on clay. I mean, you can here too, but it's just, I feel like it's kind of like a different game playing on clay, but I really enjoy it. So I'm excited for that.
And here as a Triton, just to bring it back home, it's because you stayed relatively close to home, what was mm-hmm. it like having your family support at matches?
It was so nice. Like my grandpa, I swear he came to like all of our matches, which was like really nice to like be able to see him since in season, like I wasn't able to go home very much. And like, I still haven't gone home that much while like since I've been here, but since my family has been able to come to the matches, like I still feel like I see them enough. So yeah, it's really nice to have like all their support. And then like, they'd always try to like watch a live stream when we're traveling or somewhere. So it's really cool. And live stream matches are extra special because then like my family in France can even like tune in.
That is amazing. Well, Olivia, are you ready for some quick picks?
Yeah, sure.
City or countryside?
City. Yeah, I feel like, the countryside could get a little boring for me. I need to talk to a lot of people.
Morning person or night owl?
Oh, definitely morning person. Like at the beginning of freshman year, my bedtime was like 9:30, and like now it's like 11 and that's like late. So definitely morning person.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Crunchy. Yeah.
Books or movies?
Movies, but I did have like my reading arrow last summer.
How did that come about?
I don't know. It was like, I pick up some like random hobbies. Like last year I had like reading, the year before I had like making sourdough bread. And then like also last year I was really into crocheting. So just pick up these really random hobbies, but I love it.
And these are like limited shelf life, like one and done, like one summer and you're out.
With school, like I fell behind on the reading, but maybe this summer I'll pick it back up.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors. I love hiking, the beach, sunsets. Fall quarter, we went to like 10 million sunsets at Gliderport, and that was like my favorite thing ever.
Beach or mountains?
Beach. We're coffee. At UCSD. I have to say beach.
Very fair. Coffee or tea?
Tea. I like boba tea. I'm not that big into coffee, but I can drink it for sure.
Well, don't feel like you have to. That's not doing me any favors.
No, it's good. Just I don't need to rely on coffee. I have enough energy as is.
All right, there it is. Singing or dancing?
I suck at both, but I feel like dancing.
One place you've never been that you most want to visit?
Oh, I really want to go to Italy. Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of history there and it's just really pretty. And the food. You got to travel for food.
No doubt about that. This is a low-key food podcast. So favorite pizza topping?
Okay. I like pineapple pepperoni.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm one of those people. So you got to love pineapple, guys.
Breakfast or dinner?
Dinner. Yeah. More options.
Favorite San Diego food?
I don't know. Like, I feel like the Mexican food here is just really good. So I'll go with that.
Phone calls or texts?
Okay, before college, I was like definitely a texter, but now like I need to call people. Like I have too much to say. Like, and yeah, I need to call. That's my thing now.
Dreamer or realist?
I feel like dreamer. Since I'm so optimistic, I have to say dreamer.
Ah, that seems to fit. I respect that. You could travel to the past or the future. Which one would you pick?
I say past because I don't know. With AI, I'm a little bit scared for what the future is going to look like. And I just had a really great childhood. So, yeah.
Is there any specific place you'd go or person you'd want to visit or anything like that?
I feel like just anything to do with like my sister. We had a lot of fun times, though. I miss living with her.
How often do you see one another?
I mean, I call her every day, but she's traveling ex like more than like when I was with her. Like she's traveling even more, so I don't see her that much. But this summer, we'll see each other a lot, obviously, and we'll get to travel again. But yeah. This girl's been everywhere without me. Like, I'm in my chem class and she's sending me like pictures of her on a camel, like at the pyramids in Egypt. And I'm just like, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
It depends from where, but my sister makes really good waffles. So I'll go with waffles.
That's valid. So when you
Yeah.
finally get to Italy, what's the one dish you're looking forward to trying most?
I feel like carbonara sounds really good, and then definitely like gelato. I need to try it. Like Italian gelato sounds really good.
It is. Is there a specific place in Italy or just Italy at large on your bucket list?
Just Italy, I feel like, yeah.
When you go see family in France, what's your favorite thing to see, or what's your favorite thing about France that we don't have here in Southern California? Food,
I
place,
just,
anything?
yeah, like I feel like the food's good there, but just like I don't know how like close everything is. Like you can like walk to a bakery and like I don't know, it's just kind of cool. And you're also like just really close to a bunch of different countries. So yeah, it's just like different there, but I can't really explain it. But yeah, but it's always like nice to come back home here because it's, I mean, SoCal's the best. But yeah, it's always nice to be able to travel to France as well, though.
We'll end with this one. If you could play one other sport at UC San Diego for a day and, you wouldn't suck, like you'd be good. What sport would you pick and why?
Let's see. Think on this one. Oh, I really like track and field is just so cool to me. And like sometimes our conditioning workouts, we're on the track, like running like with like cross country, or, like the track team is watching us. And like I don't think I'm not very, I consider myself pretty fast, but it's like I don't know. It's still a little embarrassing to be like running next to them. So I'd like to be like really good at track. I feel like that'd be really cool.
We'll have them pick up a racket. You'll be even.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Well, Olivia, thanks so much for chatting with us this week and good luck this summer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
What a fun conversation with Olivia. And that's now 2 weeks in a row in which our podcast guests will be spending their summer in France. After an amazing freshman season, we look forward to seeing what Olivia has in store for an encore in year two. But coming up next week on TritonCast, we'll introduce you to new women's volleyball head coach Spencer McLaughlin. He'll tell us about his ambitious plans for that program, and we'll learn why UC San Diego was the right landing spot for this first-time head coach. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week, and don't forget you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 127 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.